Chapter 12. The howling reverberated all over the plains as the sky above us was washed bloody by the appearance of the hated red sun. Maybe it was the slight altitude of the Manta ship, but I felt my ears crackle due to the compressed muteness of the atmosphere that always took place with the demonic droning. I, along with pretty much everyone aside from Vela at the helm, rushed to the nearest railing so we could all get a glimpse of the grotesque, hellish spawning taking place on the ground below. Or what should have been grotesque, hellish spawning.
"Where are all the demons?"
Rylan asked, as he also looked down at the plains from his position on the staircase.
"Is this like how it was when we were all on Terra?"
"That's a good question, lad,"
the koala man said, as he surveyed the quiet landscape. But not a single particle of dirt was disturbed, despite the constant howling that attempted to call the scourge forth.
"What did you say had kept you for so long, Mr. Alex?"
"I haven't even had the pleasure to debrief you yet, Mr. Jenner," I responded, as I scoured the plains for any sort of activity, but there was none. When Shay joined us, Nova and I asked her if she could use her incarnate powers to heal the island's heart like she did back on Terre. Long story short, each island heart is a doorway, and we played a little game of hide-and-seek as we tried to find where Shay was called off to.
"It was almost like a compulsion,"
the Phoenix woman added in a thoughtful voice.
"I had no idea where the feeling was leading me, only that I needed to keep seeking it. Had I known it would have taken so much time, I might have tried harder to resist the call so we could form a better plan. But alas..."
"You felt compelled, you say?"
The koala man tweaked his monocle as he eyed Shay from top to bottom.
"And it was very strong, yes?"
"Almost impossible to ignore,"
Shay confirmed with a nod of her crimson head.
"That is quite alarming, my dear,"
the furry gray man said, as the frown on his face deepened.
"Based on some of the things I'm still sorting through from old Tovish, you must heed your power a little bit more carefully. From what the records say, it is some of the most difficult magic to assert yourself over. Some have even lost themselves to it."
An icy shiver ran down the length of my spine when I remembered the washed-out version of Shay that came with her almost draining too much of her own life force.
"It seems as if there's still much I must do and learn when it comes to this power,"
she said with a chagrined smile. And by the look on her face, I could tell she was also remembering how close she came to basically aging a decade right before our eyes.
"The wolfmen and their shamans on Terre were able to help me a little, but they even said the power is too strong and mysterious for even them to have all the answers."
"Regardless, you seem to have done what you set out to accomplish," Jenner said,
and then gestured expansively with one of his furry gray paws.
"Observe."
Another subterranean howl attempted to rip open the sky, but wherever the demons were spawning, it was not on Ohm. That was absolutely clear. "Let's all go inside so we don't have to listen to the awful noise," I suggested. And one by one, my crew peeled themselves away from the railing so we could all start heading inside. Almost immediately, my wives whisked Nova away so they could clean her up properly. And with Rylan heading off to take care of his lizard creature and Horace off to show Ozzy where Arvid was, it ended up just being Jenner and I left in the kitchen.
"Shall I give you a moment as well?"
the koala man asked me, as he continued to eyeball me out of the corner of his eye. "I don't look that bad, do I?" I chuckled, and ran a hand a little self-consciously through my hair.
"You don't look horrible,"
the koala butler mused, as he tilted his head this way and that. And I suddenly felt like I was being appraised like a piece of meat.
"It has been a while, but something about you seems different somehow."
"Hopefully it's a good difference," I remarked. And I tried not to feel even more on the spot than I already did under his observant gaze.
"Almost assuredly,"
Jenner said, and gestured for me to take a seat at the table in the galley.
"If you won't clean up first, at least let me put the kettle on. There is much we must discuss, and it would be a waste if it fell on dull ears."
I nodded and followed the older man's instructions. I was happy to not be the one making the commands right now. And I lowered myself to sit at the table while Jenner made a special batch of tea from the stash I knew he was trying to save. The fact he was willing to prepare some for me, when the tea he preferred was already rare and hard to come by, caused something warm to curl up inside my chest. "Thank you," I told him, after he poured me a small cup and I wrapped my palms around the ceramic so the warmth would seep into my tired bones. When it was cool enough, I took a sip of the fragrant brew, and my eyebrows flicked up in surprise at how fruity and mild the stuff tasted. For some reason, I pictured the oftentimes stern koala man as being the type to enjoy a strong, sugarless black tea of some sort, but instead it turned out his favorite cup of tea tasted like a bowl of Fruit Loops.
"How do you find the taste of the yuba berry?"
Jenner asked as he sipped on his own brew. "It's good, but not what I would have expected you to pick," I answered honestly.
"Yes, generally this is considered a children's drink because of its sweetness, but the yuba berry also has wit-strengthening properties as well,"
Jenner explained over the rim of his teacup, before taking a long swig.
"We have a lot of ground we need to cover, and this helps to organize the mind."
"Shay mentioned something about you being excited by the documents I sent explaining Nova," I said, as I worked on my own tea. It wasn't my favorite by far, but Jenner swore by it, so I was going to give it a shot. "There's a lot about her I still don't know, but it's been an experience learning what makes her tick."
"I was able to find out a little bit more about her species,"
Jenner remarked, as he rolled his own mug between his furry paws in thought.
"Surprisingly, the archives from Terra were the most useful in this."
"Anything I should be aware of that I don't already know?" I asked.
"You've probably already experienced how temperamental her kind can be,"
Jenner said with an amused chuckle in his voice. "That's the understatement of the century," I mumbled as I sipped more of my tea. As the calm settled over me, I felt like some of the cobwebs that had built up were now being cleared away to make room for new thoughts.
"Indeed,"
Jenner laughed and shook his head.
"The Lacuna children used to be a very insular species, and they used to be found all over Aventol."
"Really?" I arched an eyebrow. "What happened to them all?"
"Most of them were captured, and their vocal cords were harvested to make lute strings,"
he said with a disgruntled sigh. "Oh, that's horrifying," I stated, and glanced into my cup like that would help for some reason.
"Truly,"
Jenner agreed with me. And then he gave up the ghost, pulled a silver flask from his jacket's inner pocket, and added a good glug-glug of something stronger to the rest of his tea.
"Unfortunately, the Lacuna children were regarded as animals because of their lack of speech. Although they looked sentient, they could not communicate with the rest of the denizens on Aventol, and it set them apart."
"So forget second-class citizens. The Lacuna weren't even regarded as part of society," I summed up with a grimace. "But they can communicate. It's just in a language we can't understand completely."
"Yes, I know,"
Jenner said.
"One of the old journals I recorded was from a biologist who was fascinated with them when there were still Lacuna on Terra. He observed and attempted to record some of their more common vocalizations in the wild, and posited they were actually highly intelligent, and had a social structure similar to the Varthans of old."
"That explains why she ended up being so taken with Zoe," I snorted. "They are distantly related."
"Very distantly, but yes,"
the koala man said. And I sat back as I added this information to my own mental index of all things Nova. Then the two of us finished our tea in companionable silence. Finally, I swallowed the last dregs of my drink, and I felt surprisingly good and mentally acute. I waited for Jenner to finish his tea, and the red sky eventually went away during this time. Even though there were no demons wreaking havoc below, it was still a relief when the afternoon light came flooding back, and the compressed air feeling in the atmosphere lessened.
"So I take it the lack of scourge means our Shay really did heal the heart of Ohm?"
Jenner finally asked, and then tidied up the remains of our tea break. "That's not all," I told him with a burgeoning grin. This next little tidbit of information was something I was looking forward to sharing with the koala man, given all I knew about his homeland. What caused us to have to chase her so far was the fact she couldn't stop with just the heart on Ohm. She somehow followed whatever was calling her all the way to Aang.
You were... Oh my.
Jenner's eyes widened when I confirmed with a nod and a grin.
But how can that be?
According to Nova, people like her and Shay are able to use the heart of the island as a way to travel, I explained. Don't ask me how any of it works, because I have no clue. But it's unpleasant as hell and surprisingly effective.
Logically, it would seem travel through these doorways you have described would only be possible if they were healed,
the koala man said, as he rubbed his gray stubbled chin.
If that is true, how could Shay cross over to Aang when it hadn't been... Oh, of course, how silly of me! Any historian worth their salt knows Aang and Ohm are sister islands, who fell from each of Mercedes' eyes simultaneously, or some such. Zoe could probably tell you the pretty version of the legend, but if that is true, then Aang and Ohm share a connection.
Nova tried to explain something like that, I said. When she took me to where Shay's trail ended, we found my wife collapsed at the bottom of a large crystal orb I could only assume was the heart of Aang. It was draining her bit by bit as it healed, and Shay had turned almost completely white, literally.
Oh, that girl must be careful of her power so it does not run away from her again.
Jenner finished putting away all of our tea things, and then gestured for me to follow him on the way to his study.
Tell me about this orb. Where was it located?
Well, when Nova teleported us both there, we ended up in a room full of drawers, like a giant filing system, I described for the older man, as I attempted to recall as much as I could. When we left the room we were in, I saw it was only a part of several more interconnected chambers. The main chamber is what holds the heart. I remember a large fissure in it was leaking some sort of mist.
Yes, that is definitely the Vault of Aang,
he said with an expression that told me, if he was able, his face would have gone pale at my description. As it was, the koala man's step slowed significantly before he got to the library, and he seemed to be trapped in a miasma of thoughts. I was the one who ended up reaching the doors to the library first, so I held the door open for both of us. After you, I said.
Thank you, lad,
he said, as he meandered past me.
You say there was a mist leaking from the heart itself?
Yeah, it stopped after Shay healed it with her power, I said, as I followed the shorter man to the circular desk situated in the center of the chamber. The modest library had slowly been undergoing an overhaul, with Jenner at the helm, like he was with all things knowledge and data, and the end result left the library looking well-maintained. Its stocked shelves were free from dust and in good repair, and I could tell there was a system of organization that would allow him to summon any topic in an instant. I just hoped the subjects he'd amassed from various places like Tovish, Doler, Vane, and now the Archives of Terror had what I was looking for as well.
How fascinating, Jenner mused,
as he took his place behind the desk. He then started to look for something under the desk, and when he pulled out a semi-transparent paperweight-looking thing I knew to be a record stone, I pulled up a chair and settled in for what I knew might be a long lecture. Are those the ones from Tovish? I asked, as I gestured to the crystal teardrop on the desk between us.
No, this is one of the ones I created in my attempt to synthesize all of the data I gleaned from the Royal Libraries on Terra,
Jenner explained, and tapped the record stone twice with his furry paw.
So far, this is just Volume 1, but it has a lot of basic knowledge when it comes to Aventol. This is where I learned so much about Nova's kind. There are things about these islands that even I hadn't known for all of my seasons alive, so it was quite an interesting lesson for me to brush up on.
I'm so glad they let us take a look at their library, I remarked.
Same here, lad, he said,
and grinned long and wide before he returned to the subject.
From what you describe, the mist that has cursed my people for so long with its plague of savagery must have been originating from the heart itself. This seems to check out based on some of these older texts, and the fact the vault was caved in long ago, so no one is left to argue the mist's origin anyway.
So if this is the same mist that causes your people to revert back to their primal ways, and for all intents and purposes, Shay has fixed that problem, what does this mean for the people of Aang? I asked.
Only time will tell, I'm afraid. But if there really is no more cursed mist being generated, then there is a real possibility I will be able to accompany you down to the surface, he said, as he removed his monocle so he could give it a good shine on his blue jacket. I admit, the thought fills me with both dread and desire in equal measure.
I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do, I made sure to remind him, so he would snap out of his suddenly dark and serious musing. You are more than welcome to stay here, regardless of the presence of the mist.
Oh, I know that, lad,
the older man said, as he patted me on my forearm.
Which is all the more reason why I can't let you go alone. But we will cross that crooked creek when we arrive on its banks.
Okay, I'll let you change the subject for now, I chuckled. So, what can you tell me about this island? Especially its people. I couldn't help but notice that just like on Terre, there seems to be two factions of Omites, the forest people and the plains people, who I have yet to actually meet. Is this something we should be concerned about?
Oh, yes, the Akoba forest folk and the Tatabo plains people, Jenner said,
and then placed his now smudge and streak-free monocle back on his face.
These factions exist only because it is a matter of preference between the two species. You haven't seen them yet, but the Tatabo giants are known for their work in the quarries. They are the larger variety of Arvid species and prefer the sprawling open spaces of the plains lands to the rather enclosed feeling of the tree people and their lifestyle. Neither of the factions care to really control the other, unlike on Terre. The Omites are a docile people by nature, and they don't even ascribe to the same doctrines as the rest of Avantol.
What does that mean, exactly? I asked, and swung my leg back and forth where I was perched on a stool in front of the desk. Jenner must have seen my dubious expression because he snickered a little before he went on.
It's not like the Omites have created an entirely different religion or anything, he said. They just see the world a little more simply than the rest of us, and have chosen not to ascribe to many of the laws laid down by the Asher Council, or the edicts approved by the Temple Order.
Is that... I mean, are they allowed to do that? I asked, since the concept of not abiding by the laws that made up Avantol seemed unheard of to me, given what I'd experienced firsthand when I arrived. Simply, Asher law was usually always final.
It had been decided long ago that the Omites were free to carry on living in the ways they saw fit, as long as they provided a labor force willing to harvest the island's most valuable resources, Jenner continued. Since they have little need for the raw crystals and ores that come from this land. It was an easy agreement to make, however. There are some sources which contest the fact and say the Akoba forest folk have a different opinion when it comes to outsiders. Part of the reason, I think, has to do with how the forest used to be harvested for its wood, and this was causing the forest people to be driven from their homes.
None of them mentioned anything when I was there under Elder Elmer's watchful gaze, I said. Although I'm not sure if he speaks for all of the forest people, or if there are more of them I just didn't manage to run into.
There have been reports of several tribes populating both areas, but there is next to no recorded information about them,
Jenner said as he picked up a quill so he could jot something down in the nearest notebook he had handy.
All I was able to really find out about the people here is they are very secretive and like to keep to themselves. It seems as if the biggest price for living this way came at the cost of the Ohm folk having a seat on the Duelist Council. This basically grants them their citizenship without having to fall under the main hierarchy of ranks and no ranks. However, this also leaves them out of any council decisions in the future and requires the production of stone to be monitored by an overseer the council appoints.
Krev was masquerading as someone named Overseer Yates, I said. What can you tell me about any of that? Or any of the Aldas, for that matter?
Let me check for you,
Jenner said, and then rummaged around for another record stone. This one was smaller than the one already on the desk, and I gathered it was full of supplementary content that didn't have a place with the main influx of information. The koala man held the smaller stone between his two furry paws and closed his eyes so he could concentrate. After a few moments of him holding the stone in silence, he sighed and shook his big-eared head.
"There is not much on that particular overseer,"
Jenner said after a thorough search.
"I even checked some basic lineages, but I know for sure the Yeats name is new to the duelist hierarchies. He might have been a no-rank who rose through his own prowess and prestige. How he got tangled up with the shapeshifter Krev Alder, I have no idea. But Alder is someone who comes up quite frequently, especially in Vane and Tovish's archives. Both he and Carvo do, and it tells me the brothers have been on Aventhol a lot longer than I assumed."
"How long are we talking here?" I asked.
"At least 35 seasons or more," Jenner said, and adjusted his eyepiece. "Most likely more, but without an actual date of origin, it's all speculation at best. Mercedes. These two really did get around and wreak all kinds of havoc, didn't they?"
35 years? I couldn't help but vocalize my astonishment, and I felt my shoulders slump a little. "Do you have any idea when Krev decided to take over as Yeats?"
"Not a clue," Jenner sighed. "My guess would be around the time little Nova showed up."
"If only I'd known the bastard was still alive sooner," I said through a clenched jaw.
"You weren't to know, lad,"
Jenner said with another placating pat on the top of my wrist.
"Not everything is your burden to bear. Just thank Mercedes you were able to get that poor girl out of there regardless. Anyone can see rescuing her was definitely the right thing to do, and it is not for us to burden ourselves with what-ifs."
"You're right as always," I said, and released the last of my tension through a deep breath. "You should have seen the state of that deplorable house from the inside. Before we came along, Nova barely had anything decent to cover herself with, and who knows how she was able to get by without food so readily available. I think Krev traveled a lot and left her alone for extended periods of time while he did whatever the fuck it was. Chances are she wouldn't have lasted much longer without intervention."
"It is lucky, then, you arrived when you did," he said. "Possibly so lucky as to be described as fate."
"Before I came here, I would have laughed at what you just said. But now I know better," I said with a grin, and the koala man barked out one of his creaky old man laughs.
"Don't be so hard on yourself, Mr. Alex," he said. "I was born here, and yet the concept of faith and fate that seemed to hold all Aventolians together sometimes eludes me in the middle of the night. I've always thought it would be nice to be an Omite like Arvid or Ozzy. They seem content to just live their day-to-day lives in as much harmony as possible."
"That would be nice," I said, as I tried to picture such an idyllic country life without being hounded by assassins or having the responsibility of foiling any dastardly plots. "But somehow I don't think it's in the stars for people like us."
"Unfortunately, that is the truth,"
he agreed, and fiddled with the record stone. "Speaking of random meetings somehow being the product of fate," I trailed off before I dove into this next topic, because a large part of my hope for my future with Amaya depended on what this could all mean.
"What is it, Mr. Alex?"
the koala man insisted, when the silence continued to stretch out. "I found out Nova is able to read the language the mysterious book was written in," I said. "I recently discovered her mother, who passed away, actually kept a diary, and I think that is what the book is."
"Oh, how interesting,"
Jenner said, as his furry ears trembled with excitement. "Yeah, only she's a bit shy about her reading skills," I warned, before the wily coot could get it into his head to lure the siren woman into his lair like some hieroglyphic cipher.
"Is she illiterate?"
he asked with a puzzled expression on his gray face. "She's not very fluent in the language of her mother," I explained. "Krev always forced Nova's mother to read these runes that were conjured by someone she only referred to as a witch. She told me this witch wanted her mother to try and tell her the future and to name the next baby."
"What is it you are getting at, Mr. Alex?"
Jenner asked, as he fixed me with a shrewd look.
There is something you've pieced together, and I can tell you've been bursting to talk about it.
Think about it, I said, as I leaned forward. Krev kept a Lacuna woman not to poach her as a trophy or to harvest her vocal cords. And aside from his perverse fantasy, he also had a child with her and attempted to make Nova do the same thing after her mother died. But her mother always kept her in the dark about this language, even though she managed to pick it up anyway. After she couldn't, it seems as if Krev mostly abandoned her.
Where are you going with this?
The koala man asked as he frowned. We already think there's a chance the prophetess is of a different lineage, right? I gestured with one hand on top of the desk. What if the last prophetess was Nova's mother, and the witch was someone trying to force her to tell who the next prophetess was going to be?
Why do that? He posited.
I don't know, I said. For the same reason people do anything? For control and power? Maybe they wanted to intercept the next prophetess before she was born? Or maybe there was a plot to end the prophetic line?
You think the answers are in that book, and Nova can translate them,
Jenner pieced together. Not just that. But I think I might already know who the prophetess is, I finally revealed. And the bombshell caused the koala man's ears to wilt in shock.